Welcome to Shir and Svaro, Parshas Vayikra. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Harry and Etta Packer, marking the yard site tonight of his father, Chaim Leben, Svi Hirsch, and the Shabbos Shrav and Aliyah. You should see much nachas ruach from the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim that the entire family are involved in. The very end of Parshas Vayikra speaks about the Karban Asham, and we noted earlier in the week that the Svarno's approach to understanding the significance of the Karban Asham, I believe, stands in contrast with that of the Ramban. The Ramban writes here in Parshas Vayikra that the term Asham, a guilt offering, literally, is related to the word Shmama, which means destruction or desolation. And the Ramban explains that the particular sins associated with the Karban Asham are so intense that the person who has committed those sins is worthy on some level of being destroyed, of being decimated, and the Karban Asham comes to achieve an atonement for him. Thus, what the Ramban seems to be saying is that the severity of the Averos associated with the Karban Asham on some level is even greater than the severity of the Averos associated with the Karban Chatos. The Svarno seems to take the opposite approach, which frankly, again, just looking at the various averos associated with the Karban Asham versus the Karban Chatos, on the surface seems to be easier to understand. The Svarno says that the averos associated with the Karban Chatos are actually more severe. I mean, more often than not, they're chayvei krisus. They're types of averos that if a person were to do them intentionally, he would be chayv kares. And so those are very severe. The averos associated with the Karban Asham are problematic. They generally involved chilul hakodesh, somehow desecrating something which is sacred. We spoke about that in the context of me'ilah. We tried to explain that a little bit in the context of gezela, the asham gezelos, which spoke about earlier during the week. I want to turn our attention to a comment from the Svarno Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Zayin, in which he talks about a certain type of karban asham. So first, let's see the pasuk itself. Pasuk says, "Vim nefesh kisechta." When a person sins, ve'asasa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem asher lo se osena, he commits one of the mitzvos that, or he violates one of the mitzvos. Ve'lo yoda ve'oshem ve'noso avono. He's not aware. He's guilty, and he bears his sin. What do you mean he's not aware, he's guilty, and he bears his sin? So Rashi over here explains from Chazal, Ho'inyan hazeh medaber b'mi shebo sofei kores liyodo. This pasuk is talking about a person who might have violated a prohibition with which brings with it potentially the punishment of kores, v'lo yoda im ovar alov im lav. And he's not sure whether he violated this isser or not. In other words, he's unsure whether he even violated the prohibition. What's an example? Kegon chela v'shuman lefanov. Guy comes in, sees in front of him on the table two pieces of fat. One piece of fat is chelev, the prohibited fat. The other piece of fat is shuman, a permissible fat. V'kosover sh'shtein heter. He thinks that both of them are kosher. In fact, one of them is kosher, one of them is not. V'ochal es ho'achas. And he eats one of the pieces of fat. So again, there's a 50% chance he ate kosher. There's a 50% chance that he ate treif. Amru lo, people say to him, achas shel chelev haisa. You should know, by the way, one of those pieces of fat that was on the table was a treif, a piece of fat. It was chelev. V'lo yodaim zo shel chelev ochal. But he's not sure which one he ate. You know, it's not like one of the pieces of fat was marked with an OU. And one of the pieces of fat was marked with an OU with a line through it, right? Okay, there were two pieces of fat. They looked basically identical. He ate one of them. Did he eat the kosher one? Did he eat the treifer one? He doesn't know. He doesn't know. So says Rashi, Ereza mevi asham toloi. So he brings something called an asham toloi, a conditional guilt offering. What's the conditional offering? Umagin alav kolzman shlonod alo shavadei chata. The Asham Taloi protects him till such time that he can verify that he actually committed a sin. In other words, maybe he committed a sin, maybe he didn't commit a sin. So, you know, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to bring punishment upon him, maybe not, he doesn't know. So he has to bring a sort of tentative Karban Asham to protect him. This is the original umbrella policy, right? He's looking to protect himself in some way or another because he doesn't know whether he committed a sin or not. If eventually he does find out that the piece of fat that he ate was in fact prohibited, Yobi Chatos. So then he brings the Karban Chatos to atone for what was certainly a sin. The Asham Toloi seems to be a kind of protective, hedge your bet kind of Karban, to make sure that he's covered if in fact he did something which was prohibited. So that's the way Chazal, the Torah Shebaal Peh, understand this pasuk that we're talking about in Asham Toloi. And of course we know those who say Ozim Makomen in the morning, we make reference to the Asham Toloi, and Ozim Makomen is part of the list of Ashamos, of guilt offerings that are described therein. The Sfarno takes the following approach to explaining these psukim. He first starts off just explaining, like Rashi, that these psukim are talking about an Asham Toloi. Kvar kiblu zal shezeh medaber ba'asham toloi. Our rabbis have a Kabbalah, they have a tradition, that these psukim are talking about this concept of the provisional Asham, the tentative Asham. She'eino yodeya im chato v'im lav. He might have sinned, he might not have, he doesn't know. V'lo yoda, that's the pasuk says, v'lo yoda, he doesn't know. V'al ze omar v'noso avono kefi haroi lo. But here the Sfarno adds something which is a little bit of a different twist. It's potentially a little bit of a different twist than Rashi's take on an Asham Toloi, and that's as follows. The pasuk had said, v'lo yoda v'oshem, he wasn't aware, he wasn't sure whether he had sinned or not. V'nosa avono, but he should bear his sin. What does it mean that he should bear his sin? I mean, truth be told, we're not even sure that he sinned in the first place. That's the whole nature of the Asham Toloi. Maybe I ate the treif, maybe I ate the kasha. I don't know which piece of fat I ate. So, goes on the Sfarno to explain, what's v'nosa avono, he should bear his sin? Im chata b'shogeg. You know, it's possible that his sin is that he actually sinned. In other words, he ate the treifa piece of fat. Olo nafal b'cheit, or potentially, maybe he really didn't eat the treifa piece of fat. So you say, okay, if he didn't eat the treifa piece of fat, you know, if we could somehow ascertain that, you know, you go back, there was a camera in the room, and we get the footage, you know, we take a look, and we say, oh, you know, Taka, he ate the kosher piece of fat. So you say, okay, so he didn't sin. So it says this one, no, he still sinned. Aval hoyo avono shelo nizhar ad shenofal b'sofik. Either way, he sinned. Maybe his sin was eating the treif a piece of fat, or even if he didn't eat the treif a piece of fat, the fact that he was so negligent to put himself into a situation where he potentially violated an iser is also something which requires a degree of kapara, a degree of atonement. So in other words, the Asham Toloi addresses some kind of sin, either the actual sin which he committed, or the fact that he was so negligent to put himself into a situation of potential sin. Right, so the Asham Toloi is only tentative in the sense that we're not sure what the sin was. That's the way the Sfarno phrases it, right? Right. In other words, again, this, the language of the Sfarno is very, I think, very telling. V'nasa avono, he should bear his sin, kifi haroi lo, in accordance with whatever the sin is. In other words, either way, he sinned. The only question is, what's the severity of the sin? Is this... Right. No, so in other words, right now, he can't bring a Karban Chatos because he doesn't know that he sinned to that extent, right? Again, going back to the Sfarno, what we said in the beginning of the Shir, the Sfarno holds that a Karban Chatos is a more severe reaction to the sin than a Karban Asham. But even if we assume that the guy didn't actually eat the trefa piece of fat, he sinned in his negligence. The fact that he could find himself in this situation is in itself, you know, a certain lack of care that he's taking, and that it, that itself requires a degree of kapara. Right. Now, so if he knew that one of the pieces was treif, so arguably he's even a little bit of a mazid, right? Right. So in other words, it's not that he goes into a situation and says, oh, let me pop this into my mouth. It's only a 50% chance that it's treif. I'll be fine. That's severe negligence. But it's a kind of negligence similar to when the person eats, chaylev b'shogeg under normal circumstances. The fact that you weren't careful enough to ascertain the situation properly itself requires a certain degree of kapar. So this is an additional twist. You know, you see two pieces of fat lying there. You should check. You know, the guy obviously didn't check well enough because he found himself in this difficult situation. So that's the idea that the Svarno is bringing out, which sounds a little bit different than Rashi. Again, Rashi is just quoting Chazal over here. So, you know, the Svarno ultimately is going to explain his understanding within Chazal. The Svarno is clearly not saying a pshat that's different than that of Chazal. His understanding of Ashim Taloi ultimately is informed by Chazal. But whereas when you read Rashi simply, you can come to the conclusion that the Ashim Taloi is a kind of hedging one's bets, as I put it before. Meaning, we're not sure whether he sinned or not, but in case he sinned, he needs to protect himself. Right? If somehow you could ascertain that the guy, in fact, ate the kosher piece of fat, so no harm done. That's the impression you get from Rashi, right? In other words, it's magin olav. The Ashim Taloi protects the person, so that in case he sinned, he's now going to be protected. Right, it's a kind of conditional karban. You know, in case I sinned, so this should cover me. The Svarno is saying something beyond that. The Svarno is saying, the person certainly sinned. It's not a question of if I sinned or if I didn't sin. The only question is, how badly did you sin? Did you sin by eating the trefa piece of fat? Or did you sin by being negligent that you could even think that you possibly ate a treif, a piece of fat? You know, that you could even come into this particular situation. That itself, the fact that he didn't take the time to evaluate the situation properly itself is venasa avono. It brings with it a certain degree of sin. And that says that the Svarno is the explanation of a pasuk just two psukim later, at the end of the short parsha in the Torah, describing the Ashim Taloi.
Right, one of these carbons too, the Kohanim add salt to, in the parasha, it says, for these different types of carbons, on top of that, also in the mincha offering. Is that the reason why we did the...
Yeah. The dipping the challah into salt is reminiscent of the dipping of the salt that was added to the karbanos. 100%. That's reminiscent of the idea that the table is like a mizbeach, it's like an altar, and that we duplicate in some way some of the actions that are associated with the karbanos. Yeah, 100%. So at the end of describing this Ashim Taloi, right? So again, let's just it's three psukim. So let's just see it. We saw the first pasuk. A person potentially violates an iser, v'lo yada, right? He's not sure whether he violated the iser or not. V'noso avono, he bears his sin. What should he do? So the pasuk yudches, v'hevi ayil tomim en atzon, he should bring an unblemished lamb, ram, from the flock, be'erkecha la'asham, El HaKohen, it should be of the proper value. He brings it as a carbon asham to the Kohen. V'chiper alav HaKohen ashegagaso asheshogag v'hu lo yada v'nislach lo. The Kohen will atone for him on his mistake that he made, even though he doesn't know, and it will be forgiven to him. Again, even the language of the pasuk, by the way, sounds very much like the Svarno. The Kohen will be mechaper ashegagaso asheshogag. He'll atone for the mistake that he made. You know, no, according to the Rashi understanding, he'll atone in case he made a mistake. What do you mean? You know, he'll atone for the mistake that he made. So again, according to the Svarno, it reads very beautifully. He'll atone for the person who certainly made a mistake. Maybe his mistake was eating treif, but certainly his mistake was not being careful enough that he potentially could have eaten treif. But then at the end of this short paragraph, there's a pasuk which seems very difficult to understand. Asham hu, it is a karbon asham. Asham asham lashem. He has certainly become guilty before Hashem. And you read that pasuk and you say, what is that? It's a short pasuk. It's a five-word pasuk. But what is that pasuk adding? Asham hu, it's a karbon asham. I know it's a karbon asham. I just read in the previous pasuk that he brings ayil tamim in atzon, he brings this ram from the flock, le'asham el hakoin, as a guilt offering, as a karbon asham to the kohen. I know it's an asham. I was paying attention. I didn't space out during the last pasuk. So what is it? Asham hu asham asham lashem. It is indeed a guilt offering. He is guilty in the eyes of Hashem. Comes to Sfarno and says as follows. Afal pi shalif amim yuvaze hakarbon v'hu lo nichshal ba'oso acheit. Even though it's possible that the person will bring this karbon and objectively speaking he didn't actually commit any kind of aveira, right? Now, let's say that he ate the kosher piece of fat. So from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, he actually didn't do an aveira. So maybe the person will say this karbon asham, in a sense, is a wasted karbon. It's chulin la'azara. I'm bringing what's really an unconsecrated karbon into the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, really, 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 it turns out that I didn't do anything wrong. No, lo yachshov achoshev shemachnis bozeh chulin la'azara. The person who's bringing the karbon asham shouldn't think that he's even potentially bringing something which is not which is unconsecrated as a karbon. Why? Ki omnam hu karbon asham akoponim. Because regardless of which piece he actually ate, the karbon that he's bringing is properly labeled a karbon asham. It is a guilt offering and it atones for guilt. Afal pi shelo nichshal ba'oso achid shenafal ba'asafek. Even though, objectively speaking, we know that he didn't actually commit the sin of eating the treifa piece of fat. Why is that? V'atam, who? The reason is the last part of the pasuk, ki osham osham lashem, because he has become guilty in the eyes of Hashem. Why? Kishelo nizhar badavar ad shenafal b'safek. The fact that he was careless and found himself in this situation, that itself, Asham Asham Lashem, is an act of being guilty before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So in the whole point of that last pasuk, according to the Svarno, is to justify the need for a karbon, even if in theory you could determine that you ate the kosher piece, the shuman, the kosher piece of fat, as opposed to the chel of the treifa piece of fat. It's not just about, you know, the fact that I did an aveira, that I potentially did an aveira and I have to somehow protect myself in case I did. The very negligence itself is something that requires a degree of kapara. And that, by the way, explains what Rashi brings again from Chazal. What happens when the person finds out that he actually ate the treifa piece of fat? So we saw it from Rashi. He has to bring a korban chatos after bringing the asham. So I don't understand it. The asham was meant to protect him. So if he didn't do anything wrong, he doesn't need protection. If he did do something wrong, the protection isn't sufficient. He has to bring a karbon chatos anyway when he finds out that he violated, you know, the sin of eating the chalev, eating the prohibited fat. So what role does the asham tali play at all? I mean, in what sense is it protective? It doesn't give enough either the protection isn't necessary or the protection isn't sufficient. What role does it play exactly? So according to the Sfarno, you understand it. According to the Sfarno, it's not so much about the potential protection. I'm covering myself just in case. That's not really the issue over here. The issue is that I need to atone for my negligence. So that I certainly have to atone for. Now, perhaps in addition to my negligence, I also have to atone for the actual sin of eating chalev, of eating, you know, non-kosher fat. Okay, if it turns out that I violated that, then I have to bring an additional carbon. I have to bring a carbon chatos to atone for that sin. But it's not as if the chatos somehow supersedes the asham. The asham needs to be brought in any case just to atone for my negligence in dealing with this situation. There's one more svarno in the parsha, so we'll take a look at that. And that svarno relates to the next section of the last section in the Sedra. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Pasuk Chaf, Nefesh Kisechto Amal Amal Bashem. When a person commits an offense against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which includes V'chicheish Ba'amiso B'fikadom V'sumes Yaro V'gozel, he lies to his friend about property that he has of his friends in his hands, that he denies the fact that he owns it. O Begozel, or he swipes something from his friend, as we spoke about the other day, the Asham Gezelos, he takes something by force from his friend. V'hayok yechto v'oshem, so it will come to pass when he is guilty of this sin, meaning that he owns up to his guilt. Veheshiv es hagzela shegozal, he should return the stolen object. And then v'es ashomo posuk chafei v'es ashomo yovi l'ashem, he should bring his korban oshom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu ayil tomim min atzon be'erkecho l'oshom el hakohen. Again, a unblemished ram of the proper amount brought as an oshom v'chiper alav hakohen l'fnei Hashem v'nislach lo. The Kohen will atone for him before Hashem. Al achas mikol asher yase l'ashmava, concerning all of these things which he might have done to become guilty. Comments the Svarno. It's noteworthy that the Torah describes first veheishiv es hagzela, that he has to return the stolen object, and then veheivias ashamo l'ashem, and then he brings his carbon asham, because he says she'ein ha-korban mechaper elo imkein pies es ha-nizok kodem havoas ha-korban. It's dafka in that order. The korban is not going to work unless you first appease the person from whom you've taken the object. And the way to appease the person from whom you've taken the object, at least in part, is to return the object. You know, just saying, I'm sorry, but by the way, I'm going to keep the grand piano that I snatched from you, right? That's not really a mahalach. I'm sorry, and here's the item back. And once you make up with the person, the Beit Adam L'Chaveiro, so then you can attend to the Beit Adam L'Amakom of bringing the carbon. Ka'amram Zal, as Chazal say, Gemar Bavakama Kuf Yudam and Aleph, Hevi es Ashamo, Ad Shelo Hevi Gzeilo Lo Yotzov. The person brings his carbon Asham, but before returning the stolen object to the person from whom he took it, so he hasn't fulfilled his obligation of the carbon Asham, and as the Svarno is pointing out, that's really just implicit in the order of the psukim. Veheishiv es hagzela, first he gives back that which he took, and then v'yas hasham al yavi, then he brings the karban asham, only after having made up with the person in that kind of way. Again, this of course fits in with the whole idea which the Svarno had developed, which, again, I don't think it's unique to the Svarno, but certainly the Svarno speaks it out, that the essence of the karban is to create a sense of hachna'ah, of contrition. And again, what kind of contrition can the person properly express if, you know, he's still holding on to the stolen article that caused him to bring the carbon in the first place? I'm contrite. Well, if you're really contrite, give it back. You know, I'm not that contrite, right? So, the point is, he obviously has to show a certain degree of contrition before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means fixing up the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and only after that can he potentially talk about fixing up the Bein Adam L'Makom. Bez Hashem, we should be zocher to the kaparos, you know, to the various atonements that are described here in the parsha. You know, we don't have the karbanos, but in the neshama parim sfaseinu, you know, the learning about the karbanos should serve as a kapara for us. And Be'ezus Hashem, bring all of the brachas into the world that the karbanos and the Beis HaMikdash brought about. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.